I'm so blessed to be here. I was just thinking, I was like, wow, this service is going so awesome. Don't mess it up, Jamie. I'm just kidding. I'm not. God's got a great message. He's been talking to me for weeks about this since I was assigned this story for the summer sermon series, the Lessons in Seven. Oh, my gosh, it's like a tongue twister. My wife came up with that. Thank you very much. But anyway, we're going to talk today. This is the third chapter of that. We've had some great sermons. If you haven't been here, they've been wonderful. As we're going through the Bible, talking about seven, that number seven, it's a special number to God. So it's very cool to see it throughout this whole entire book. So stay tuned for the next like 3 to 4 weeks. We've got some more. So today we're going to talk about the Battle of Jericho, which is a great Old Testament story. But before we get into the actual scriptures, I want to give you some background, because I had some aha moments, as God always does. Like, do you ever read a story and they're like, oh, I didn't see that last time? Or you do a little bit more research, like, oh, that makes more sense why they did this, X, Y, you know, like, it's like a puzzle piece sometime, and the more information you get, it all comes together in one awesome story. So I want to give you some background, okay? So Moses has just died, the great leader of the Israelites. They've been wandering around in the desert for 40 years, and they are almost, they are about to enter into the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey, Canaan. So I was thinking about this. I was doing research. I found out that during this time, they weren't just chilling out. I don't know what I thought they were doing, if they were playing with Facebook or whatever, but I'm just thinking they're just like hanging out. But they're actually building an army, a massive army. They're building a ginormo army. And they're actually having some battles, and they are just wiping people out left and right. And people are scared of them. Like, word's getting out, and they're very frightened. Joshua, after Moses passed, Joshua was assigned as the leader of the Israelites. This is another aha moment for me. I've heard of Joshua before. I'm like, oh, wow, he's a great leader. That's awesome. I think of him as, like, our president. But he was so much more than that. He was their advisor spiritually, politically, and he was a warrior. He was a military mastermind, if you will, who led this ginormo army into battle for all these battles. Okay? So that's the kind of guy that he was. Super outstanding guy on so many levels. He was more than just their leader, like sitting in the Oval Office, I guess like the Oval Tent at that time. He wasn't just doing that. He was out among the people. He was a great leader on many, many levels, on all facets, if you will. Okay? So that kind of gives you an idea of who Joshua was, where the people were, and what they're trying to do, honestly, guys. And this is just like a really bad time to be not a Jew, because they're going through and they are just exterminating everybody who doesn't believe in the one true God. They're just, really, it's not pretty. They're just going through as mighty warriors and taking everybody out. So this is where we're at. Ruthless army, about to enter into Canaan. And this is when we come up to the story of the Battle of Jericho. But my wife gave me Joshua 6 as the chapter, but I used my own pastoral liberty. And we're going backwards a little bit. Notice she's not here. I put her with the kids this morning. Pray. It was awesome that many kids were here, but okay, just side note, this doesn't go with the sermon. Deacon Cindy, pray for her. She's not feeling very well. So she texted me this morning, hey, I'm not feeling well. I won't be there this morning. So I'm like, okay, Pastor Tosh, do you mind helping me out? I'm thinking a couple kids will be here. Look at all the kids that came here. I'm like, okay, honey. She's like, it's fine. I got it. I'm like, all right. But anyway, she volunteered, and then, wow. She's doing great back there. I'm sure she is, right? Exactly. Don't matter to me. All right, so Joshua 2. This is a great part of the story that we're going to find about later in Joshua 6. So let's start with Joshua 2. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there if you want. But Joshua, I already told you he was a military mastermind. So he sent out spies to the heavily fortified city of Jericho. Now, real quick, also watch some History Channel stuff. Like 30-foot walls of concrete, whatever. They didn't have concrete, probably, but whatever they, you know. It was a heavily fortified city, 30 feet tall, and they think it was like double-walled, just so you know. So this is a big, big city, nice-sized city that's just totally fortified all the way around it. Very good. Now you've gotten all the backstory. All right, so we're going to read Joshua 2. Joshua sent, or then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies to him. Go, look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So he's a military mastermind. He's sending out his spies to go check it out. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho. Oh, I said not to mess it up. All right. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites, now focus, people. Yeah, I guess. Some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. She's in trouble. Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house because they have come to spy out the whole land. Look, they've heard, remember, they heard everything that was going on. They're fortified. I mean, they are hunkered down. They know what's about to happen, and they don't want that to happen. Okay, they've heard of everything that's going on. So the king's on this. But the woman had said the two men had... okay, let's back up. But the woman had taken the two men and hid them. She said, yes, the man came to me, but I don't know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, the men left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may be able to catch up to them. But she had taken them up to the roof and hid them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on her roof. So the men set out in hot pursuit. Doesn't say hot, but I just added that in. Of the spies on the road that led to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. And the Israelites replied back. They said, our lives for your lives, the men assured her. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us this land. So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. Now she had said to them, go to the hills so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves there for 3 days until they return, and then go on your way. And then you can read on further, but basically they promised to spare her and her family if she put out a red scarlet rope out of her window so they would know where she was so they could spare her. If they exited her room or her house, they said, look, we don't promise anything. If you leave, then that's on you. But they promised to spare her. We're going to jump now to Joshua 6. And please read the finish of chapter 2, 3, 4, and 5. There's some cool stuff in there. Spoiler alert, they stop some water from the Jordan River. They like to stop water, it seems. And there were lots of circumcisions. Okay, now we're going to go to chapter 6. It's true, pastors. It's true. Chapter 6. Oh, real quick, what I want to talk about Rahab, but we're all going to revisit her. However, I love, once again, how God just uses an ordinary sinner to do his work. All throughout this book, is anybody here an ordinary sinner person? Great. You can be used because he uses them all throughout this book. So many stories, and there's another one. All right. So we're skipping 3 and 5, and we're going to 6. This is where I was told that I could preach from, so now I'm right on board. All right, this is the good story. Love this story. Okay, now Jericho was tightly shut up because, why? They're scared to death of the Israelites. Doesn't say that, but I'm going to add that. No one went out, no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times. 7th day, 7th time with 7 priests. You guys catching on to the 7? So glad I got this story. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the people will go up, every man straight in." God has just given his exact instructions and direction on how they're going to take this battle. We'll visit that again too. I want to get through the story first. So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, "Take the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it." By the way, they took God along with them, right? So many ways we could preach on this, but anyway. "And he ordered the people, 'Advance, march around the city with the armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord.' When Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the Ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the Ark. All this time, the trumpets were sounding. But Joshua had commanded the people, 'Do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout.' So he had the Ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the people returned to camp and spent the night there. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priest took up the Ark of the Lord. The 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets went forward, marching before the Ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the Ark of the Lord, while the trumpets kept sounding. So on the 2nd day, they marched around the city once and returned to camp. They did this for 6 days. On the 7th day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except on that day they circled the city 7 times. The 7th time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the people, 'Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only who? Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies that we sent. But keep away from the devoted things so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking them.'" He's telling them, keep all their idols and stuff. We don't want any of that. Keep it. Destroy it. Or don't keep it. Destroy it. Don't take it with you. "Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury." When the trumpet sounded, the people shouted. And at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a shout, the wall collapsed. So every man charged straight in and they took the city. They devoted the city to the Lord and destroyed with the sword every living thing in it. Men and women, young and old, cattle, sheep, and donkeys. Joshua said to the 2 men who had spied out the land, "Go into the prostitute's house and bring her out and all who belong to her in accordance with your oath to her." So the young men had done the spying. So the men, young men who had done the spying went in and brought out Rahab, her father and mother and brothers, and all who belonged to her. They brought out her entire family and put them in a place outside the camp of Israel. Then they burned the whole city and everything in it. But they put the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron into the treasury of the Lord's house. But Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belonged to her, because she hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho. And she lives among the Israelites to this day. So there's the cool story. Marching around 7 days on the 7th day, 7 times, blowing 7 trumpets with 7 priests. Pretty cool, huh? so many ways, so many things to talk about, but I'm going to give you two to think about and talk about with this story. The first one. This is a mighty army marching to take over a city. Do you really think they thought God would draw it up, they would just march around it like a parade? It wasn't a parade, but do you really think they thought just marching around the city was going to do what God had called them to do, to destroy the city? I'm thinking to myself, there's these big burly dudes with swords and everything. They're ready to go in. And they get there to this battle to take over the city. They've been doing this. And they get there and God's like, here's my instructions. I'd like you to march around. They're like, you got it. I'm thinking, really, seriously, they're going to be thinking, you got to be kidding me, really? This is what I'm going to do. I'm just going to march around it, march around it, march around it. This is ridiculous. Who here has ever had God show up in a different way than you had thought that he would show up? Oh, good. Fantastic. Me too. Let me tell you a story about myself and a lawnmower. I've been bothering Tosh for us to be able to purchase a lawnmower, a riding cool lawnmower that does those turns like real fast so I could mow the yard in like 5 minutes. We don't have a very big yard, but, you know, times of a little constraint sometimes, and I'm thinking to myself, hey, if I can talk her into getting this lawnmower, I could easily mow the yard in like 20 minutes tops, gives us more time to do other things. Plus the fact at that point in time, our friend Deb Carson was moving two doors down. I was like, hey, I'll mow your yard too. We'll just get this cool lawnmower. I mean, I worked on Tosh for a long time, and if anybody knows her, she's got a spreadsheet of a budget that must be met. So I worked her, worked her, worked her, worked her. No, no, no. So this is me pushing, mowing the yard, pushing, mowing the yard. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. But I kept it on, man. I'm persistent. I was like, we have got to get this riding lawnmower. About the same time, a friend of ours is like, hey, I've got a riding lawnmower. Now, it's not one of those fancy kinds that go around in the thing, but for such and such cheap, cheap dollars, I can sell you this lawnmower. And I'm like, yes, the answer to my prayer. God's showing up. I'm getting this lawnmower. This is exciting. This is so awesome. So I get on this lawnmower. I fire it up. Tosh comes running out to capture the moment that I'm thinking is going to be beautiful. And she captures the moment on film or digitally. What happened? There I am, people, on this beautiful lawnmower in my yard that looks like it really needed mowed. So we get to looking at this picture, and what had happened was there's a little incline. I will not call it a hill, but there's an incline by this tree, and this lawnmower was like stuck. It was like not going anywhere. I couldn't get it to go, and I am not happy. In fact, if you'd like, you can zoom in. Can you hit it? Look at my face. I've been saving this to embarrass myself for a while, but hopefully this will get the point home. Look at my face. I am so disgusted with this lawnmower. In fact, look at my hand. I'm like, and Tasha's like, oh, smile, honey. I'm like, I can't get the thing to move. This beautiful idea that I had in my head about this awesome lawnmower that I was going to be able to just whip around my yard, it didn't happen. This is what happened instead. Has anybody had this face to God before? With your hand like, they're like, you got to be kidding me, dude. Really? And I imagine that this is what the Israelites were thinking too. They were all looking like this. Especially the main warriors. They're like, really? I got to march around this thing? I'm going to just go in there and take things over. But look, we have to understand that we don't have the plan. News flash, we don't. God has the plan. He laid it out perfectly for Joshua. He said, look, this is exactly what you're going to do. And Joshua might have even been like that. Can we put it on something else? There's got to be something more pretty than that. But Joshua might have been like that too. Like, I cannot believe that this is what you want me to do. We are a mighty army. We've been building ourselves up for 40 years to take over this joint. And you're going to make me march around the city? Look, we aren't in charge of anything. God is. And we have to just listen to what he says and do what he says, which brings me to the next point. But first, realize, before I go to that point, that God's got the plan together the whole time. Okay? And we have to trust him that he's got the plan together. even when we look at him like that, and he's probably like, that's right, just do it. Just put it in reverse and back and forth. Okay, remember that. I know this week you're going to look like that to God. I know it. This is going to work. And you're going to be like, yeah, okay, I'm just going to go with this. And I'm going to. The second thing that Joshua did was he obeyed God. He didn't do anything different than the plan that God had laid out for him. Okay? So he could have. I mean, Joshua, I already told you, he's a military mastermind. He could have said, hey, forget that plan. I got this plan. This is what we're going to do. And he could have drawn out something else. They could have ambushed a place, whatever, called over, whatever. Oh, that would have been awesome to, like, fling people over the wall. I don't know what they would have done. But nonetheless, catapult, that's the word. He could have done that, right? Joshua was a mighty guy. He was smart, good leader. But guess what? He was also obedient to God. So when he got that look from God, like, you got to be kidding me. He's like, all right, fine. I'll do exactly what you told me to do. And the Israelites followed too. So we have to remember always to obey God no matter what. And Pastor Tosh, her little children's sermon today, goes right along with this. So we can live an awesome, abundant life. I don't remember exactly the words from Deuteronomy, but you got it, right? You got the picture. And I got to thinking about this too. Like, these are soldiers and warriors, and Joshua is one of those who or trained to do something else other than march around a city. Kind of like Michael Phelps, okay? Arguably the greatest swimmer ever, maybe the greatest athlete of all time, other than myself. Just kidding, I don't have any Olympic rings. But Michael Phelps is trained to do his thing, right? So let's imagine in the Olympics, Michael Phelps gets up there, does his little slappy thing, he gets ready, you know he does it, right? And then they blow the thing, and he just jumps in the pool, gets on a little floaty, and has some lemonade. Right? That's not what Michael Phelps is trained to do, right? He's trained to jump in and go as fast as he can. That's what the Israelites were trained to do. They were trained to go in and take care of everything. They're exterminating anybody who doesn't believe in the one true God. That was their mission. So it took a lot of restraint for them to obey God, I think, reading the story, knowing the history, for them to obey him was a great feat in itself. And guess what? When they did obey him, the walls came a-tumbling down. When they did exactly what God had told them to do, the walls came tumbling down. So what about walls you may have built up? What walls do you have in your life? Anger, resentment, depression, sadness, addiction, grief, whatever. Name them. You can name them. There's a million. Those are our walls. And the way to get our walls a-tumbling down is to know that God's in control of everything. Don't give him that look, even though you want to. Or when you do give him that look, just keep on pressing on. And you have to obey. We have to do what God tells us to do. Because it's in our best interest. We have to understand that God knows. Is anybody here smarter than God? Okay, right. Good, yes. So he's doing and setting things forth for us to obey him, his rules, his regulations, whatever you want to call them, so we can have an awesome, abundant life. That's why they're there. Instead of saying, oh, I'm going to be defiant, I'm not going to do what God says. Uh-uh, wrong answer. To get our walls to crumble and to be crashed to the ground, we just have to obey what he says. And I know that sounds like that's easy for you to say, Pastor Jamie, but it's so hard to do. Sometimes it is, but sometimes it's really not. We make it harder than what it really is. Just obey. That's it. And what are his rules? They're all right in here, people. What you need to do, God tells us all right here. Or when you're in prayer, or when you're about to do something stupid that you shouldn't do, when he tells you not to, just do what he says. If you do, pay attention and listen and obey him, your walls are going to come tumbling down, just like it did in the Battle of Jericho. Amen? Are you guys going to do that this week?
Yes.
Know God's in control and obey him. All the time? 100%?
Yes.
Easy enough. Now it's time to put it into action. It's not good to just sit here and listen to me ramble about a lawnmower. We got to leave this place and put it into action. Amen.